I'm Linda von Tilburg for Birds News. Well, having a sports scholarship to a US university has been a transformative opportunity for many athletes worldwide, providing them with unique avenues for professional and personal growth. Well, one such individual is Tyler Hollingsworth, who earned a finance degree in the US while playing soccer. Well, he's founded a company dedicated to helping talented students to follow in his footsteps, and he successfully secured over R1 billion in academic and sports scholarships for students studying abroad. Well, now he's part of Sable International, and he's leveraging his expertise to assist talented South Africans in obtaining US scholarships. Well, hi, Tyler. Thanks for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This is such a fascinating topic because I know of a couple of students who've taken this route. So if you just take us a little bit back on your journey, how did this work and how did this open up pathways for you?
Yeah, it was a fascinating journey. You know, I am like a typical South African boy, was passionate about, rugby and football and cricket and athletics, swimming. So I did everything. But my father was English, so the soccer was always on TV, and he was a big Liverpool fan. So I was spending a lot more time in front of a TV watching football and kicking around a football than the others. So I naturally developed a little bit more in football, and I played for some really nice academies. I played for SuperSport United when I was in my youth career, and I was very fortunate to get an opportunity to go to the UK and go on trial at some of the bigger clubs. So I went to Bolton Wanderers. They've now been relegated from the Premier League, but when I was there, it was incredible. They were still up there. Spent a couple of weeks, but unfortunately didn't make it. So when I came back, I turned my sights and realized that I wasn't maybe at the elite level of football, but I was somewhere close, and I could use that ability to fund an education. So I reached out to a person that I knew who had done it before, and he assisted me through the process. He introduced me to a few universities, sent my videos across, and then I secured a scholarship sight unseen, took it. I was really excited to go, and played 4 years of college soccer and got myself a degree in finance and accounting. And then I worked for 2 years in insurance in the USA. And loved it. Americans, for me, I know they get a bad rap in the news, but they're the salt of the earth. They're lovely human beings. And I just wanted to give more people that experience. I was passionate about sports, and I knew that, I was definitely not the best athlete, but I was up there, and I knew that there were so many more players and people out there that were better than me that really deserved it more than I did. I just got lucky. So we came back and we started a business. And then about 6 months ago, Sable decided they wanted to bring me on board and take me under their umbrella, and they've obviously got world-class brand, and they provide exceptional service. So I was like, why not? Join these guys. We connected on a very cultural level. Our core values and our company culture aligned really, really nicely. I wanted to be a part of that, and I wanted to learn from guys who had built incredible businesses. And I wanted to, I wanted that experience to trickle into my business and allow us to help more students have the experience that I had.
Well, I'm sure you mentioned the word luck. I'm sure it's not that. I'm sure it's talent, but there needs to be certain steps to do it. So what would you do if somebody comes to you and said, listen, I've got a talented kid, what do I do?
Yeah, so it's important to remember that it's also an education. So it's really important. One of the big stumbling blocks that we see is that students just dedicate most of their time to their sports, and they get by, they pass, but it really inhibits the process of studying abroad. And Linda, you and I, just before we went live, we were chatting about some students that were world-class swimmers, but also academically exceptional. And they've gone into some really famous brand name blue chip institutions. And that really helps. Academics plays a huge role in this process. If you are the next Cristiano Ronaldo, but you don't have the grades, not going to get into those brand name schools. So first thing I'd say is, focus on your academics, but make sure that you're training in, you got to do both almost at 100%. You can't favor one or the other. And then it's important, the next step is it's important to start early, start talking to people, chat with us, chat with your coaches, you know, swimming coaches, tennis coaches, you know, the golf coaches, they tend to be the sports where South Africa sends a lot of athletes. So coaches generally have good connections and I basically understand what's going on. And the more you understand from about 15, 16, the better. So dig into that process, learn, ask questions. And then from like a South African perspective, when we apply to universities, we only start thinking about it in grade 11, right? You know, grade 11 is a good year where, you know, students start to focus. In the USA, all of your high school grades get looked at. So 9, 10, 11, and 12, they consider all of them. So you really just want to start early and get good grades.
And of course, you have to write these tests. Tell us about the tests.
Yeah, so there's a couple tests that you potentially would need to take. There's the SAT or the Scholastic Aptitude Test. It's out of 1,600 points. It's a, you know, it's a math and an English exam. A lot of the universities over COVID dropped it, so they made it test optional. But what we're seeing now is the more elite institutions are bringing it back. So they basically set the trend. You know, Harvard and a Yale and a, you know, Columbia. When they do something, the crowd generally follows, and they're bringing it back. So, you know, a lot of kids are opting not to take it. But for those students, you know, in grade 9 or 10, you know, let's work on that mathematics. Let's, you know, maths literacy is okay, but we wouldn't recommend it for this process. And then, you know, if you are an Afrikaans speaker, or if, you know, if you've got listeners or viewers all over the world and they're not first language English speakers, you may have to do an equivalency test, an English equivalency test, just to make sure you can learn in English. So there's the IELTS, there's the TOEFL. We're seeing a lot of universities actually using what's called Duolingo. It's an app. You can use it on your computer or on your phone, and you can do it online now. It's significantly cheaper, and a lot of schools in the States are accepting it. So, you know, technology's taken over, but yeah, those are the two tests that students would need to consider if they want to embark on this process.
I told you earlier about this. Let's call the swimmer, and I'll call her Anne. I won't say what her surname is. But I think she was also told, be on social media. Is that a new one? Do you have to have a social media profile?
You don't. I don't think you have to. A lot of students are, you know, in this digital world. A lot of people are kind of trying to, you know, get their kids off social media. But it absolutely helps. You know, coaches are getting younger and younger. The older generations, where they want to have a video call or they want you to fly out, they're now, you know, retiring. They're no longer, you know, the major part of the coaching workforce or, you know, academic body at these universities. Younger guys, 20s, 30s, 40s, they're on X, they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok. And the prevalence of video within high school sports is absolutely exploded. So, you know, platforms like Supersport Schools, where you can essentially take a video and use a platform like Riverside or, you know, something like that, where you can essentially get AI to make you a highlight reel in a couple minutes, has really changed the game. So social media, it's not there right now, but for those who can do it well, it really helps. So coaches, particularly for sports like tennis, swimming, golf, where a lot of technique has a big impact on your scholarship. You know, if you're swimming, you know, senior national qualifying times, but your turns are not great, your underwaters, your stroke maybe needs to be corrected. A coach can see that and be like, wow, this student has got so much talent. We can do so much more. And she's already incredible. So social media is important. Kids should do it. They should have their personal profile. They should separate them. Have your personal Instagram or TikTok and make that private. And then have your sports profile and make that public. And then you want to follow the institutions that you're interested in. So, you know, Harvard, Yale, Texas, Oregon, whichever schools you're interested in, follow them. And then find their coaches, right? It really is an untapped resource. We follow all the coaches and they've got 500 followers. If you're a world-class athlete, and you want to go to Oregon and you follow him and you're liking his pictures and you're keeping him up to date on social media, it really could be the difference. So something to consider.
Do you have some examples you can tell us about a certain individual? You don't have to tell, you know, give us the names, but that followed this path and how it panned out.
So we've actually had three students that have gone through our program that have gone to the Olympics. We had a girl about when was it, 2021. Brilliant girl. She went to Bucknell University, South African. And she, I forget what she was studying, but she played for the South African youth sides. And she went to Bucknell and was competing at the Division One level. She got called up to the senior national side and, you know, went over to Japan in 2021. So she got that Olympic experience. And then we had two in 2024 in Paris. We had two Paris Olympians. One boy, 4x400 meter relay runner. He went to Paris and he was at UCLA. He's now transferred. And then we've got a girl who's doing shot put or discus, and she's at the University of Nebraska. So, you know, what's really interesting talking about the students that really make it, they're not only successful in their sports, they're also incredibly dedicated to whatever they're doing. So these three people that I've spoken to you about, academically were brilliant, great human beings, and athletically, you know, just on another level. And I think it comes down to that grit, determination, starting early and wanting it. You know, we reach out to so many super talented athletes that, you know, just aren't interested, or, you know, they're academically not strong and the process doesn't really work for them. These three individuals that I've mentioned to you, we didn't have to reach out. They were proactive about it. They came to us. They wanted this. They made it happen. So, yeah, we've had some really, really nice success stories. We've sent over 700 students from South Africa and mainly from Africa. We've got a few Aussies and we've got one American, funnily enough, and we've got a few New Zealanders that are in our program. So we're a global company. We can help you from anywhere. But yeah, we've had kids at Princeton, at Dartmouth. So, you know, most of the famous blue chip universities that, you know, your viewers have heard of, we've helped students go to.
So, what do you find? Do people say, well, I definitely want Ivy League, or can't you be that picky? Do you have to go where you can actually get in, where a good coach is?
Look, we always talk about fit, right? So we really try and understand the needs of our athletes and the needs of their families, right? So parents obviously play a massive role in this journey. So we always try to bring them in. We get everyone involved. Often we'll bring coaches and really try to build that support structure that's going to really shape and guide the journey. Obviously, you know, for your elite institutions like a Princeton or a Dartmouth, we can never guarantee that. And the coaches can also never guarantee it. So how our process works is, you know, the ordinary South Africans would think, okay, I'm going to apply first. And then when I get in, I'm then going to go down to the pool and then I'm going to go try out and I'm going to race, or I'm going to play soccer and try. That's not how it works. With college sports, you have to first be recruited. So we talk to the coaches and we network with our partners and we build really strong relationships with them to make sure that they trust us and they trust the families. And we try to balance the needs of the institution with the needs of the family. So we look at everything, right? Needs, academic ability, what they want to study, location, and we match that up. And your top schools, like your Ivy Leagues, the coaches will tell us, say, look, Tyler, we'd love to have the student. We're going to give her a conditional offer. We're going to give her, you know, a tuition discount of, say, 80% or 100%, whatever it is, depending on their level. But we can't guarantee that they're going to get in. So if they get in, you'll get this offer. So that's the difficult part. They're so competitive. Places like Duke or Stanford, they get 60,000 to 70,000 applicants and they can only take in a couple thousand. And because it's such a global elite, you know, student body that applies, 80 to 90% of those students have the grades. They are A students. They're getting 90s and they're all getting it. So what the admissions body or the admissions office has to do is they have to sift through not just the academics. That's the first hurdle. If you don't make it academically, you're out immediately. But then you've still got 50,000 students that are academically capable of attending that institution. They can stand up to the rigor. They would fit. But they look at essays, right? They look at letters of recommendation. They look at community service. What else? It's like a job interview, right? You know, loads. You have 50 CVs, you pick the 10 that would fit the bill, and then you meet the people and you try and understand if they will fit your culture and your team and your team goals and your university student body. So it's, it's very much an art and a science getting them into the elite schools. But it's not all about the elite schools. You know, there's really great Division III universities, Division II, there's NAIA, there's about 2,500 universities that we've dealt with regularly. And sometimes a small unknown college is a better fit. You know, like a big school like Michigan, 60,000 students, you're never going to get to know your professors. There's 500 kids in a class. You know, you go to a small NAIA institution that no one's ever heard of. There's 2,000 students. There's 10 people in a class. You're going to know the professor. You're going to get that individual attention. There's a community. So it's not about let's go to UCLA. It's about finding the right place for that individual.
Well, what would you say to parents who say, listen, I've got a talented kid and, you know, he's doing well, she's doing well, but the cost is eye-watering. How much do these scholarships cost, you know, how much of the scholarship are paid and of your costs are paid? And what would it cost me? Is it still going to be expensive?
Yeah, it really depends, right? So we help a range of students. So we don't just go after the elites. Obviously, we love the elites and it makes our lives very, very easy, but we'll help anyone on the spectrum. So first thing we look at is academics. Can you academically, you know, perform and attend these institutions? And then it really doesn't matter where you are on the athletic ability. If you've got 75% and you're really passionate about soccer, I can find you a D3 university that would gladly have you on the squad. On one of the teams, there's not always one team, there's multiple teams. So they'll bring you in and you might not get a scholarship, but you might be paying $25,000, $30,000. But for the elite kids, for the really top measurable sports, so like a running, a swimming, a tennis, a golf, we know, we can see from your times and your scores and your academics what you're projected to pay. So, you know, about 30% of our students pay nothing. They pay zero. Okay, so they get housing, food, and tuition covered, right? And the real elites, you know, like our Olympians, they also get something called a stipend, which is an additional, essentially a salary of about, you know, between $500 and $2,000. And the students go straight into their bank accounts. They can buy groceries. They can book holiday. They can do whatever they want with that money. But about 60% of our students are still very, very talented. You know, they may be first team rugby, or there may be provincial hockey. They're not at the national level, and they're academically strong. They're getting about 75% off. And just to give you context, the average institution in America for full cost to attend is about $50,000. Obviously, it goes up to $100,000, and it comes down to, you know, $12,000. So there's a big spectrum, but on average, it's about $50,000 for everything. Our students are getting about 75% off. And they're paying $15,000 to $20,000, so around $280,000 to $300,000, which is comparable to like a UCT or a Stellenbosch. You know, if you're a student down there, it's not all that won't be the sticker price that you see on the website. But if you consider, you know, transport, food, entertainment, lodging, it adds up to about $250,000 to $300,000 to study in South Africa. So $15,000 to $20,000 is comparable. And then, you know, 10% of our students are paying anywhere from $25,000 to $70,000. We've had students that want to go to a specific institution. They've got the academics. We get them in. And then, you know, if they've got the resources, they go.
Thanks, Tyler. Thanks for speaking to us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.